Chapter 9. The Sixth Principle. Passion. Quote, "When a man's willing and eager, God joins in." Unquote. That's from Aeschylus. Memorize these four words. Passion always trumps excuses. However, keep in mind that when I use the word passion, I'm not referring to the romantic notions that this concept conjures. Instead, I'm equating it to a vigorous kind of enthusiasm that you feel deep within you and that isn't easy to explain or define. This kind of passion propels you in a direction that seems motivated by a force beyond your control. It's the inner excitement of being on the right path, doing what feels good to you, and what you know you're meant to do. It's my contention that the mere presence of passion within you, and the enthusiasm that comes with it, is all you need to fulfill your dreams. And let's take a brief look at the word enthusiasm. As the novelist and woman of letters, Madame de Stael, noted in 1810, quote, "The sense of this word among the Greeks affords the noblest definition of it. Enthusiasm signifies God in us." Unquote. God is in no need of excuses ever. The creative divine spirit is able to manifest anything it contemplates, and you and I are the results of its contemplating itself into material form. Thus, when we have an emotional reaction that feels like overwhelming passion for what we're contemplating, we're experiencing the God within us, and nothing can hold us back. Enthusiasm becomes our co-creator. I take you back to those four words that I opened this chapter with. Passion always trumps excuses. Stay with your passion, and excuses will most assuredly be gone. Enthusiasm overcomes excuses. Passion is a feeling that tells you this is the right thing to do. Nothing can stand in my way. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. This feeling is so good that it cannot be ignored. I'm going to follow my bliss and act upon this glorious sensation of joy. Excuses, on the other hand, communicate the opposite message. I don't really have to follow through. Look at how dull all of this is anyway. This isn't very important. If it was, I'd be excited about it. I'll drop it for now. I can always do it later. This isn't really for me. I'll just finish it quickly and get it over with. Think of Madame de Stael's definition of enthusiasm, that it signifies God in you. If you can imagine God at work creating beingness, or form, out of non-beingness, spirit, you'll begin to understand the assertion of Jesus that, quote, "With God, all things are possible," unquote. So if all things are possible with God, and God is within you in the form of your passionate enthusiasm, why would you ever need to employ an excuse of any kind? When you're enthusiastic, nothing seems difficult. When you have passion, there are no risks. Family dramas become meaningless. Money isn't an issue. You know that you have the strength and the smarts, and the rules laid down by others have no bearing on you whatsoever. That's because you're answering your own calling. And the you who is doing the answering is the highest part of you, or the God within you. The presence of passion within you is the greatest gift you can receive. And when it's aligned with spirit, treat it as a miracle, doing everything you can to hold on to it. I feel this way about the creation of my books. I've learned over the years that when I go to that place of passion within me, there's no force in the universe that can interfere with my completing a project. I live it and I breathe it, keeping notepads close at hand when I eat, when I drive, when I practice yoga, and even when I sleep. My life is consumed by the passion I feel for what I'm doing. Yet I know that as long as I feel this, I'm experiencing the God within. My enthusiasm seems to cause my world to endlessly offer me cooperative, co-creating experiences. Ideas come to me in my sleep, and I wake up and I jot them down. Ideas flow to me in yoga class, and I make a mental note to record them when I've finished exercising. I'm willing and I'm eager, not just about my writing. I feel the same about staying in shape, about enjoying my family, about preparing myself to do a film, about giving a lecture, or whatever it may be. As the famed Greek dramatist Aeschylus suggested in the quote that opens this chapter, "When willingness and eagerness are present, God joins in." This is why I say that the presence of passion is so critical. It doesn't just help us emulate the all-creating divine mind, it allows us to become one with it again. If you have passion, there's no need for excuses, because your enthusiasm will trump any reasoning you might come up with. Your excitement will propel you towards acting on what you've been imagining with such gusto, so you won't need an explanation for what's holding you back. While this doesn't guarantee that your venture will be financially successful or well-received, it does guarantee that you'll follow it through to completion, since the force behind it is God within you. Enthusiasm makes excuses a non-issue. When you seek the presence of your creative spirit and are filled with passion about virtually everything you undertake, you'll successfully remove the roadblocks from your life and enjoy the active presence of spirit. Activating passion in your life. Comfort and luxury are usually the chief requirements of life for your ego. Its top priorities tend to be accumulations, achievements, and the approval of others. Consider a new alternative for what makes you happy, one that soars beyond the superficial demands of the ego. The only thing that you need for this state of joy is something to be passionate about, something that speaks only to you, that gets you tingling inside with excitement, something that won't go away, that radiates within you, that sends you into a frenzy of good feelings because it makes you feel purposeful and connected to your source of being. It doesn't matter what it is. The only requirement is that you feel intensely about it and are willing to act with enthusiasm, awakening the sleeping God within you. As Abraham Maslow once observed about self-actualizing people, they must be what they can be. Take a moment now to think about what you can be and contrast that with what you've chosen to be up until now. So what can you be? You might decide to become passionate about getting yourself in optimal physical shape. Are you able to walk up a few flights of stairs without gasping for air? Are you capable of running 10 miles without being totally exhausted? Are you carrying excessive weight? Are you in that high percentage of people who fall into the obesity range? Do you treat your body as a temple, attending to its highest needs? Can you become zealous about living a healthy life? Perhaps you have an idea that you've been carrying around with you for decades, such as a book that you know needs to be written, which only you have the wisdom to create. Can you get so passionate about realizing your vision that you activate the presence of God to assist you in co-creating your dreams? Remember, the mere presence of that passion, nothing more, is evidence that the energy of the divine creating spirit is alive and well in you. That's all you need. Just the willingness to allow your passion to speak up and awaken from its dormant status. You don't have to know how to activate your long-buried enthusiasm or precisely what to focus on. What you need is the willingness to say yes to signals from within you, the God within you that wants to be active. I've always treasured the observations of the famous Greek scholar Nikos Kastanzakis, who is one of my favorite authors. In page after page of his wonderful novel, Zorba the Greek, Kastanzakis details what a truly passionate man looks, sounds, and feels like as the title character simply lives his bliss and feels the presence of God in every waking moment. And I've had these words by Kastanzakis posted in my home for more than a decade now, yet I still read and contemplate them every day. Quote, "By believing passionately in something that does not yet exist, we create it. The non-existent is whatever we have not sufficiently desired." Unquote. The something that does not yet exist for you has very likely been explained away repeatedly with any number of excuses, and what's not sufficiently desired is the absence of passion. Returning for a moment to the idea brought up in the last chapter, practice both holding the vision for your life and surrendering it to a power greater than yourself, one that you've also connected to at all times. As I've always responded whenever I'm asked what my secret is for having overcome a mountain of various addictions in my life, I turned the entire matter over to a higher power, and I began to passionately believe in something that did not yet exist. I've come to see passion as synonymous with God. When I begin to fervently hold on to my vision for myself, I access the divine guidance that steered my life away from harmful substances and behaviors. Suddenly I'd find new circumstances that were addiction-free, the right people started showing up, and the wrong people became mysteriously unable to contact me. Give this new enthusiastic vision a try. Believe in its ability to not only kindle the fire inside of you, but keep it alive as well. Draw it, smell it, sense it, smile about it, and see it coming to you on the wings of angels right into your life. Let go of those tedious, worn-out justifications for what you haven't been able to produce, and take comfort in Zorba's model of a passionate person. Begin to believe in the non-existent you rather than in a part of you that's stuck in place and full of excuses. Get excited about your vision, and know that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Revisit passion within yourself and see how the world not only looks differently, but acts differently towards you. Enthusiasm is inspiring. Enthusiasm enables you to stay in spirit or inspired, but just like anything else, including excuses, the more you access and hold on to enthusiasm, the more it becomes a habit. The best thing about this particular habit, however, is that it's always accompanied by joy and happiness, and to that end, James Baldwin once wrote that fires can't be made with dead embers, nor can enthusiasm be stirred by spiritless men. The best way to keep your passion alive is to make your number one relationship in the world be that one between you and your source of being. Stay in a state of wonderment and bewilderment over everything and everyone you encounter. Go through life being continuously grateful and appreciative. Give thanks for all of nature and the multitude of miracles you see appearing before your eyes each and every day. This is a daily practice for me. It's the most important factor I can identify for keeping my zest for life alive and well. I'm in awe of this entire business that we call life. I sit there writing, yet not having a clue about how it all takes place. Words appear on the page from nowhere, and suddenly they are now here. Where did they come from? Is someone guiding me? And what about those trees outside my window, or that tiny little creature crawling across the page of the book that I just opened, which have the same life force in them that I have in me? And those stars and galaxies out there, are we alone in this vast, endless universe? I could go on and on writing about the gazillion things that are to be passionate about. The point is that there's no shortage of things to inspire us. And by staying in this space of wonderment and bewilderment, and especially gratitude, we feel the excitement of being alive. This is a far different stance from the one that exists when we rely on excuses to explain our life's deficiencies away. The longer I live, the more I'm content to allow unseen powers to work their magic with and around me, and the less I question any of it. I've relinquished the notion that I'm ever separate from the all-knowing mind of the universe. In this state of awe, I feel passion all the time. I don't need to do anything. I feel it in every face I look into and in every star-filled night and blossoming flower that I observe. My greatest moments of enthusiasm occur while trying to think and act like the all-knowing, benevolent source of everything does. When I let go of ego, I'm most able to maintain my passion. Lao Tzu once observed, quote, "If your willingness to give blessings is limited, so also is your ability to receive them. This is the subtle operation of the Tao," unquote. Your own willingness to give blessings can be totally unrestricted. By staying aligned with the way that all creating Tao works, you maintain an exceptionally high level of enthusiasm, and it all seems to make so much sense. When you stay aligned with God and think like God thinks, you act as God seems to act. You live in spirit and with enthusiasm. Nurturing your passion. Experiencing that thrill of passion in your body is an indication that you're fulfilling a destiny you may have signed up for even before you merged into the world of being from non-being. The opening lines of the Old Testament convey that God and good are essentially synonymous. So know that when you feel good, that's akin to saying that you feel God. The presence of passion, or feeling good, is also the same as having God awakened within yourself. Think of this awakened presence as something you need to continuously pay attention to and nurture in order to prevent it from either going back to sleep or disappearing entirely. In other words, you must keep this passion ever present on the front burner of your life. I encourage you to spend as much energy as you can reaching out and helping other people. Recall Lao Tzu's message that your willingness to receive blessings is related to your ability to give them. I know that I feel the greatest passion when I'm in the process of serving others, giving money to individuals to finance dreams that otherwise would go unfulfilled, or sending books and CDs to hospitals, prisons, libraries, and schools is always a thrill for me. Even taking my 92-year-old mom out for dinner, just the two of us, sends waves of pleasure down my spine. Giving to others is a great first step in finding your passion. Recently, for instance, I had the opportunity to spend a morning in a first-grade classroom. I was invited to read Unstoppable Me, one of the four children's books I've co-authored with Christina Tracy. Interacting with the children and hearing the questions they asked filled me with enthusiasm, but what I saw in their teacher, Miss Wimmer, was equally thrilling. Here's a woman living her passion every day through serving those first graders. She radiates her joy in nurturing their love of learning and all of her students, and she glows with excitement as she talks about each of the boys and girls whom she feels honored to teach. Her students simply adore this wonderful educator, and who can blame them? She takes them on after-school field trips, has them write their own illustrated books, plans elaborate graduation ceremonies, gets down on the floor with them to instruct them on a hands-on perspective. Every subject is taught from a creative point of view. Miss Wimmer is also more than willing to spend her own money to provide experiences for the kids in her classroom who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity due to budgetary considerations. There simply are no limits to what she'll do to give her students an ideal first-grade experience. This is passionate nurturing. Rather than using our days to just go through the motions and feel a sense of ennui, we all need to go through life as enthusiastically as Miss Wimmer does. After all, how can we expect to find any passion If we're seemingly stuck in a dull world that typifies our daily existence, we must discover the joy and satisfaction that comes from feeding our passion. It's a much better idea than hauling out that tiresome excuse that life is boring. It may be helpful to think of your passion as the presence of the creative source inside you. Talk to this invisible yet tangible presence within and thank it for never abandoning you. Go for walks with it and even imagine holding hands with it. Ask it questions and listen to what it has to say, making mental notes of how it's directing you. Feel enormous gratitude for the reality of this presence and allow it to guide you in any way it wishes. Always remember that your passion is evidence of God within, and you can make it your own very private experience. You don't need to share your inner stirrings with anyone you feel might rain on your parade. Rather, make a promise to yourself that you'll pay attention to your passion, that you'll do at least one small thing daily to make it your reality. Even if you only do a silent meditation on keeping your dream alive, write one paragraph of the book you've been envisioning. Make one phone call exploring how to get into that business you fantasized about running, or put a few dollars aside to finance your future endeavors. Do it. Pay attention to your passion. Never ignore it. Talk to it so that you don't have to drag out excuses or explain why it's always impossible for you to see and follow your own bliss. Keep in mind that your passion must be fed in order to survive. It will never let you down if you nurture it. How could it? It is God within you, and with God all things are possible, and no excuses are necessary. Here's a few suggestions for living a passion-filled life. First, do something every day to keep the awakened God within from falling back asleep. Remember that your feelings of excitement are the result of the way you think, and when your thoughts harmonize with source energy, you begin to feel your passion. Therefore, you must keep a constant watch on your mental activity. Maintain a journal to record what fires you up. The more you write, the more you invite passion to live within you. Go on the internet and view sites that talk about and promote ideas you feel enthusiastic about. Telephone or email someone out there who shares the same vision as you. Open a private bank account that contains seed money to fund a passion. Whatever you do, remind yourself that this is your passion, and you're feeding and nurturing it every day. As this becomes your habituated way of being, you'll see the universe cooperating and offering experiences that match your desires. And secondly, develop a sense of awe that leads to the creation of passion by beginning to look at everything as though you're seeing it for the first time. Don't let the concept of boredom even creep into your thoughts. I've participated in thousands of interviews of all types over the past 4 decades. Frequently I've been asked, "Don't you find it boring to be asked the same questions over and over again?" My response, which comes from my heart, says, "I've never been interviewed by this person at this time on this subject under these circumstances before." Thus, every interview is a brand new, joyful endeavor, and this keeps my passion alive. I do the same kind of thinking when I'm about to give a lecture for the 10th time in 2 weeks. Each presentation before a live audience is a novel experience. Look at your entire life this way. Make love to your spouse like it's the very first time. Read to your children like it's the first time. Go for your daily run like it's the first time. Every new moment is a gift from the all-knowing Tao. So when you act as if each experience and moment is a fresh one, you'll feel the passion I'm attempting to convey in this book. And third, take a 5-minute timeout today to repeat the following affirmation, quote, "I invite the presence of God to be with me in the form of my passion," unquote. This reminds you that every moment of excitement you feel is evidence that you have divine guidance in the moment. By holding on to it, you'll enter the excuses be gone zone. As Thomas Aquinas observed, quote, "True peace consists in not separating ourselves from the will of God," unquote. All of your moments of excitement, enthusiasm, and passion are moments of connection. They bring true peace. Excuses, on the other hand, are what you employ when you separate yourself from your passion or the will of God. Excuses are lifelong thinking habits that take you away from peace. You always have the choice: passion, peace, and alignment with God, or excuses, excuses, and more excuses.